Amen. We know it's hard to believe that Hanukkah is only 4 days away. And for some of you, it will be the first year that you'll be celebrating Hanukkah, and so you're not quite sure what to expect. And just as a reminder, it is a minor holiday. Unlike Christmas, you know, with all the festivities and all the glitz and the glitter of Christmas trees and presents and big family gatherings, you know, Hanukkah is really actually a bit of a dark time in Jewish history. You know, the birth of Messiah, you know, even though we know it's during the Feast of Sukkot, it really represents the hope of the world. You know, so it's really a bright spot, you know, in a dark, very dark world. You know, but Hanukkah was really a dark time in Jewish history. You know, when the Syrian Greece attempted to try to destroy, you know, the Jewish culture, tried to get them to assimilate into their Jewish culture and set up an idol in the temple and defiled it, and as we learned about last week. And so it really was a very dark time in Jewish history, but it's become a bright time because, you know, God, as enemies seek to destroy Israel and threaten to destroy Israel, they always fail. And God always comes to the rescue. He always delivers His people. Amen. And so Hanukkah has become a festival of lights in a time of darkness. And so we light the Hanukkah menorah, and we say the blessings, and we read the Megillah, which is a story of Hanukkah. We read the Hanukkah stories to our children. We sing songs. We give up presents. We eat lots of potato latkes, so make sure that you bring some potato latkes this coming Friday evening. We eat jelly donuts called sufganiyot with family and friends, and we celebrate it for 8 days. So that's a pretty good celebration for 8 days. Now, for many of us who are making the transition into a Messianic congregation in the past year, I would not discourage you from attending family gatherings over the Christmas season if you're invited, because we don't want to burn bridges with our families because we're attending the Messianic congregation and that we don't celebrate Christmas. But that doesn't mean that we don't want to come across as being judgmental and self-righteous because fellow believers are choosing to celebrate Yeshua's birth. You know, we need to be loving and respectful of others. Remember, just because the body of Messiah is celebrating Christmas with all the glitz and glitter, it's not a salvation issue. So it's something that should divide us. So there's no need to get emotional. I used to get really emotional about this time of the year. I used to get really holier than thou and really upset. But I've really learned over the years to just chill out, relax, walk in grace, and try to enjoy this season and use it as an opportunity to share your faith and to be a good ambassador and a good witness for the kingdom of God. And explain why you believe that Yeshua was born during the Feast of Sukkot. It will provide a lot of interesting discussion. And we do have a booklet in the Resource Center that will give you some understanding about why we believe that Messiah was born during the Feast of Sukkot. But I was thinking, just remember, as a Messianic congregation, we're not being deprived. We celebrate no less than 10 biblical holidays a year. 4 spring feasts, 3 fall feasts, 2 minor holidays, Hanukkah and Purim, the weekly feast of Shabbat, and several minor Jewish holidays. So we're really blessed as a Messianic congregation. You know, almost once every month we're celebrating and observing something. So don't be so hard on our brethren because they only celebrate 2 major holidays in a year. But you know, Hanukkah is called the Festival of Lights. And the most visible symbol of Hanukkah is a 9-branched menorah called the Hanukkah. And as we light the menorah each night on Hanukkah, it's customary to put it in the front of the window of our home so the light of the menorah can be seen by all who walk by. And the light of the menorah is to remind us that we are not ashamed to let our light shine in the darkness. And that's really the spiritual meaning, the symbolic meaning behind it. You know, Yeshua said, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. God does not want us to hide our light. He wants our light to be visible and to be seen. It tells us, you are the light of the world. Yeshua is talking to us. You are the light of the world. Why are we the light of the world? Because His light is in us. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and give light. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So we're to let our light, we're not to hide our light, we're to let our light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. So let me get a little bit personal here. An obvious question is, what do people see when they look at your menorah? Are you letting your light shine? Are you positioning your life in such a way that it's revealing the light of Messiah in you as people observe your life? What do they see when they look at your life? What kind of a living letter are you writing? Now, I often view Hanukkah as the appointed time of the year for our yearly inspection of our temple, our menorah. You know, fire inspectors come by every year in Beth Shekinah to check our fire extinguishers to see whether they're functioning or not. So in Hanukkah, I kind of look upon Hanukkah as a time of the year when we should ask the Holy Spirit to inspect our menorah to see if the fire of God is still burning in our lives or has it become extinguished. Last week I said that when we blow the shofar to begin the 10 days of awe on Rosh Hashanah, it's really a worldwide call to repentance. And that's really what the world needs. The world needs to come to a place of repentance. But during the Feast of Hanukkah, the message is a call to holiness. That we're to be holy people. As it tells us, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. There's no excuse for being ignorant any longer. You know, there's no excuse to be conformed to the things of this world. We're children of light now. And that we need to walk in holiness. We need to walk in the light of Yeshua. Because it tells us, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, and you're not your own? For you've been bought with a price. Each one of us have been bought with a price. We're no longer our own. God owns us. We are His temple. And His Spirit lives and dwells in us. See, when Yeshua looks at your menorah, what does He see? How is your walk with God going? As you look back over the past few months or last little while, how is your walk with God going? Are you working out your salvation with fear and trembling? What is your spiritual temperature? Are you hot? Are you cold? Have you become lukewarm? Is your flame still burning brightly? Do you still have passion and a zeal for God? Is your oil running low? Do you still have a hunger for God to read His Word, to pray, and to share your faith? And how is your relationship with your family, you know, with your husband and your wife, with your sons and daughters, with your children, your grandchildren? You know, is God still real to you? Do you have a love relationship with God, or has it become more of a working relationship? Because God wants intimacy in our life. He wants us to have a love relationship with Him, not just be doing, and doing the work of the kingdom. He wants us to love Him first and foremost. So these are the type of questions that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to examine in our life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, test yourselves to see whether you're still in the faith. Examine yourselves. I know during the fall season, this was a challenge for us during the fall season. We're to examine our hearts. You know, and we're to go to those people we may have offended, and we're to try to make things right. And so we did do that. You know, as a congregation, we did that as a community. We repented together and we confessed our sins together as a congregation. But that's been a few months ago. A lot can happen in those few months. You know, and we start to slip back into some of our old ways. And we start walking in the flesh and start saying things again that offend one another. And so I kind of liken Hanukkah as a course correction a time in the year where it's a time to get us back on track again. You know, trying to find a spiritual application for this Feast of Hanukkah. It's really a time for us to refocus as well. And to refocus the light of Yeshua to see whether His light is really still, you know, shining through us. Now, last week I shared a message that we're living in a time of an age of apostasy. And many are falling away from the faith. Many do not even have a faith. Many do not even believe that there's a God. It says, "Behold, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness the people." And it says, "Woe," in Isaiah 5, it says, "Woe unto them that call..." Whoops, happened there. "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil. That put darkness for light, and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." We are witnessing this before our very eyes, as I was sharing last week. Many today are calling God good evil and evil good. They're calling darkness light and light darkness. That's the kind of world that we're living in today. There's a proliferation of sexual immorality, as I was sharing last week, of homosexuality, of drugs and divorce and violence and terrorism, the killing of innocent children, the rise of anti-Semitism. You know, God's being pushed out of schools and universities and governments. These are sins that are unprecedented in our generation. So there's a spirit of anti-Messiah at work today. And that's why the Feast of Hanukkah really is a festival of lights, but also a bit of a sobering time. It's a time for us to look back and remember our dark time in Jewish history, and history has a way of repeating itself. And last week I shared a book from the book by Jonathan Cahn on the paradigm. And he does really an excellent job in discerning the sins of our generation. And compares ancient Israel with modern day nations, even making amazing comparison with the kings of Israel during Israel's times, leaders of today, primarily in the United States. I didn't even get into that at all. But you know, God chose Israel to be a nation, a model nation. God chose Israel to be a light to the nations, to be a servant nation, to be an example of what happens when a nation obeys God and keeps His commandments. The land promised to Israel, the Lord promised Israel that all these blessings will come upon them and overtake them. If you listen and obey the voice of the Lord your God, God said He will set you high above all the nations of the earth. That was God's promise to Israel. I will set you high above all the nations of the earth. You'll be the most blessed of all nations. You'll be the head and not the tail. That was God's plan. God gave Israel everything that they needed to be a wonderful example to the nations. That was God's plan. But they chose to oppose God's plan. They chose to go their own separate way. Because the Lord also warned what would happen to Israel if she turned away from God. The nation would suffer consequences. Israel did come under God's judgment because they ignored these repeated warnings by the prophets to repent and return. So their temple, their place of worship was defiled, was destroyed, and they're scattered to the four corners of the earth. And they're scattered for almost 2,000 years. They've only been returning in this past century. They're returning back to the land as God has promised. But the warning to other nations is that just as Israel turned away from God and did not listen to His voice, so also many nations today who have turned away from God and have rejected His moral laws and commandments are falling into apostasy. And they've ignored the warning of many nations, of many righteous leaders, who are calling upon them to repent. But these warnings are going unheeded. So we're seeing the outworking of what happens when you don't heed and obey God's commandments. And the New Covenant is you know, there's a whole section in the book of Romans, chapter 1, that talks about this. I'm not going to read it all, but let me just read a portion of this. It says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give Him thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind, to to do those things which are not proper. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness and wickedness and greed and evil, and full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Sounds a lot like today, of what we're witnessing today. But you know, Yeshua said that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So in the midst of all this darkness, there's light. And Yeshua is that light. And we are that light. Yeshua provided the way, He provided the truth, and He provided the life. He provided the way for man to be connected with God. You know, before any one of us met Yeshua, we all once walked in darkness. Every one of us walked in darkness. And Paul said, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were once darkness, but we're no longer darkness. We're now light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is pleasing to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. It says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. That's what God wants. When the light is exposed to darkness, what goes? The darkness. When you're walking in a dark room, you turn on a light, what goes? The darkness. It's just in a moment of time, the darkness goes. That's what God wants us to do. Have no part in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. You know, this is a condition of many in the body of Messiah today. We live in a generation where the body of Messiah, you know, the church is sleeping. It's dead in good works. It's distracted and preoccupied with the things of this world. You know, I would think if we as a sleeping giant, because we are a giant, in spiritual giants, if we as a sleeping giant would awaken and let a light shine, we could snuff out the darkness from this earth and turn the world upside down in no time at all. Yeshua said to His disciples, you are the light of the world. Awake you who sleep, rise from the dead, and Messiah will give you light. Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Messiah will give you light. There are many of God's people today that almost seem like they're dead. We need to wake up and realize, you know, what the times in which we're living. You know, the light of the Messiah is not like the little children's song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's a cute little song, but, you know, this little light of mine, it's not a little light. Yeshua is not a little light. The light of Yeshua we're speaking about is much brighter. He's the radiance of God's glory. Yeshua, you know, at the transfiguration, when Yeshua was with Moses and Elijah, with Peter and Yaakov and James, John, it said that he was transformed before their very eyes. And his face shone like the sun. His face shone like the sun. And his clothes were white as light. See, when Paul met Yeshua on the road to Damascus, he had a supernatural encounter. He said, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun, shining around me. And he heard a voice out of the light saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Yeshua was speaking to Paul in this light that was so bright that it blinded Paul for 3 days. He could not see for 3 days. You know, as believers, If we've been called to be the light, to be like Yeshua, then let His light shine through us. So wherever we walk, we can dispel the darkness around us. That's the kind of light that God wants us to walk in. It says here, I'm not quite there yet. When Yeshua was with His disciples, He said, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have light, so the darkness will not overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so you may become sons of light. For we are sons of light and of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us alert and be sober-minded." See, if the light of the Messiah dwells in us, if we are the sons of light, then why isn't the light of Messiah shining through us in the way that it should be? Because many of us are not walking in the fullness of the Spirit. And it's because many of us are walking in the flesh. We allow the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, to so distract us from the things of God that we become too preoccupied with the things of this world. So the love of this world prevents us and prevents the light of Messiah being shining through us. It says in Romans 13, "The night is nearly over and the day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and let's put on the armor of light." I really like that scripture. Let's put on the armor of light because it speaks of warfare. It speaks of battling against the darkness. That we're to put on our armor of light and do warfare against our flesh. We're to crucify our flesh with its passions and desires. We're also to do spiritual warfare against the powers of darkness because we're living in a generation today where the powers of darkness are getting stronger and stronger. And so we need to know how to do warfare against the powers of darkness. We need to put on the armor of light. And Yeshua said that we're not to participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but to expose them to the light. Whoever practices truth comes to light so that it may be known that his deeds have been accomplished in God. The night is almost gone. The day is near. So let's put off the works of darkness and let's put on the armor of light. Let's walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife, and stop making provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And so Paul is saying it's because of the flesh that wages war against our soul that causes us to not walk in the light as he's in the light, causes not to be the sons of light that God has called us to be. Whoever practices truth comes to light so that his deeds may be known. See, he who walks in the truth is walking in the light. And that's why I believe that the more that we embrace the truth, the more light we will walk in. The more that we search and embrace the truth, the more light we will walk in. Because truth will always set us free. See, the armor of light is God's garment of choice. And we're to clothe ourselves in the light of truth. And that's what I believe is really the key, is we need to know how to really walk in the truth. And that's really what we as a Messianic community are endeavoring to do. We're trying to dig for the truth. We're trying to understand the truth more clearly so that we can really let the light of the Messiah really shine through us. So we can truly become the house of glory, the best Shekinah that God wants us to become. There's so many scriptures on light found in God's Word. If you do a study on there's many references to light, it's just really quite amazing to see how many scriptures there are on light. Let me just share a few of them. I think I've already gone there. This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. When you stop and think about that for a moment, you know, that's really quite amazing. That God is pure light. And there's no darkness. Darkness cannot even stand in his presence. And if we say that we have fellowship with him, this continues on. God is light, there's no, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Yeshua, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The whole basis of fellowship with God and one another is to be in the light of his presence. God wants us to have fellowship with him. It says here, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We are in the kingdom of light. We're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We are now in the kingdom of light. And it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has light, righteousness with unrighteousness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? They cannot exist together at the same time. In Psalms 43, it says, send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain and to your dwelling places. Then I will come to the altar of God, to the God of my exceeding joy, and praise you upon the harp, O God, my God. Send forth your light and your truth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. O Lord, send forth your light. What's happening there? Send forth your light and your truth. Let these be my guide. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. And the entrance of your words give light, gives understanding to the simple. I really would encourage you this coming week to just take some time and do a study on, you know, go into your concordance and just look at the word light. And just see how many scriptures there are on light. And just meditate upon those scriptures. And read through them. I mean, it really illuminates your understanding. You know, it really gives you a great understanding of how God has called us to be children of light. Now, I often refer to the book of Revelation during the season of Hanukkah. Because Yochanan has an amazing vision of Yeshua walking through his living temple. It says in Revelation 1, when I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven golden lampstands. And standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. Just kind of a little glimpse. Yochanan had this amazing vision of Yeshua. And he was so fearful that Yeshua, you know, he was so fearful the Lord had to touch him and reassure him that he need not be afraid. But he says his face was like the sun shining at full strength. You know, no one can look upon the sun. It's too bright. I just read just a couple days ago of someone in his last eclipse, that someone looked at the sun, you know, and it burned a hole in the retina, and they couldn't see. The sun is too bright to look at. Yeshua is too bright to look at. Still there? Okay. Yochanan said that Yeshua was standing in the midst of the seven menorahs. His eyes were like flames of fire. that penetrated his entire being. And Yochanan was so overwhelmed, it says that he fell as to his feet like a dead man. So Yeshua placed his hand upon Yochanan and told him not to be afraid. They explained, and then he began to explain the meaning of the seven stars, the seven golden menorahs. He said the seven stars are the seven angels. And the seven menorahs are the seven messianic communities. And for those of us who took the yeshiva course, you know, we went to the book of Revelation and Daniel Lancaster spoke about these seven congregations that were present at that time. And so this message was primarily for those seven congregations, but certainly there is certainly application and relevance, you know, to us today. But it says, thus says the Holy One, who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks in the midst of the seven golden menorahs. So this means that the congregation is likened to a menorah. So each one of those seven congregations, each one of them represented a menorah. So every congregation radiates the light of Messiah, some more than others. It says that Yeshua walked among the seven messianic communities of that day. And one by one, he described what they were doing right and what they were doing wrong. And then they gave them a solution. And I often say that our congregation, I've said this over the years, but it's, you know, it's still true today. I often liken our congregation to the congregation of Ephesus. But it says to the angel of the Messiah, his community in Ephesus, write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. So Yeshua, if you could just imagine Yeshua walking among these seven menorahs, these seven congregations, and what does Yeshua see when he's walking through those seven congregations? What does Yeshua see when he's walking through Beth Shekinah? What kind of a lampstand are we? What kind of a living menorah are we as a messianic community? And that's kind of a challenge to us. But he speaks to the congregation of Ephesus and he says, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake. I have not grown weary. But I have this against you, you have left your first love. And that's really what I really sense the Lord is wanting to speak to us, that we need to return to our first love. We need to return to intimacy. Because what does Yeshua see when he walks to Beth Shekinah's lampstand? Does he see a house of glory where his presence is really honored? Does he see a congregation that loves one another, that is caring and sensitive to the needs of others? Are we a house of prayer? Can we say, how awesome is this place? I spoke on this a couple of weeks ago. How awesome is this place when Jacob had that encounter with the angels of the Lord descending and descending? He said, oh, how awesome is this place? This is the house of God. Surely God is in this place. Can we really say this about Beth Shekinah, that surely God is in this place? How awesome is this place? That was great worship today. God wants us to really experience his presence in a very tangible way. So that every time that we come in, we can say, how awesome is this place? This is the house of God. You know, the Shamas candle is a servant candle that is used. You know, this here. There's always one that stands above the others. This is the Shamas candle, the serving candle. And this is used to light all the other candles. That's his mission, to be a servant to all the other candles. And that's our mission, that we're called to be servants. And so what kind of a servant are we? You know, are we servants that are looking for to be noticed by others? Or are we walking in humility? And we're serving because we need to serve. And we want to serve, that we love to serve without getting the glory, without getting the attention. We need to ask the Lord to really speak to our hearts. Are we critical and too critical and judgmental? Are we guilty of being self-righteous? Are we a congregation that really holds fast to the truth of the Torah? Are we good stewards of our finances? Do we tithe faithfully and not rob God? But Yeshua gave a solution to each congregation. Six of the seven congregations he rebuked. He said something positive, but then he rebuked them. And each one of them he said, remember from where you've fallen and repent. That was a solution for every one of them. Remember from where you've fallen, because at some point they fell away or they stumbled. And in order for them to get back on track, they needed to repent. He says, be zealous for good works and repent as you once did. So that's the same message for us that has not changed in 2,000 years. The same message that he gives to every congregation. Remember from where you have fallen and repent. Remember from where each one of us may have fallen in our own lives that we need to repent. Remember where us as a congregation, you know, where we may have failed as a congregation in really meeting the needs of those people in our congregation. We need to repent. So Hanukkah becomes a time for us to do that. You know, a time to be reminded that we are a temple of living God, that we need to rededicate our lives to Him so we can begin to really let His light shine through us. So this is really an appropriate time for us to rededicate our lives to Him. You know, there's a day coming, it says here, you know, it speaks in Revelation 21. Do you realize that Genesis begins with light? And the book of Revelation ends with light? In Genesis 1, on the fourth day, God said, let there be light. And there was light. But why the fourth day? Because what happened the first 3 days? You know, was it not the sun? He said, God was the sun. He was the light. On the fourth day, God said, let there be light. And there was light. The book of Revelation ends with the Lamb. The Lamb is the light, and in Him no darkness at all. But it says, by its light will the nations walk. The kings of the earth will bring the glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. And they will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a day coming when there will no longer be night, there will only be day. And so, Lord, in the meantime, Lord is telling us that You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. It says, let Your light shine so brightly that others can see their way out of the dark. And that's what God's called us to do, is call people out of the darkness. If we see all this darkness around us, then what are we doing to let our light shine? That's God's mission to us. So let's just pray together. Father, we thank You for this season of Hanukkah. Lord God, it really does give us opportunity to pause and to reflect upon our life and upon our own temple. And Lord God, we know that it was historically a dark time in history when Israel's temple was defiled and images were set up in the temple and they were commanded to bow down and worship it. But they refused. And Lord God, we pray, God, that we too today, as there are many idols in this world who are trying to demand our attention, who are trying to force us to bow down and worship the idols of this world, the gods of this world, Lord, that we would refuse to bow down. That we would stand strong in the darkness, that we are sons of light and sons of the day. Lord, help us to really walk in greater measure of truth, so that we can help people come out of the darkness and see the light of Yeshua in us. Lord, help us to really come to the point where we'd really truly rededicate our lives to You, Lord, that we would just kind of go through the motions and just go through the ritual. But Father, we would really have this as a personal encounter with You, that we would really remember from where we may have fallen, and that we will also repent and would return to You our first love, Father, that You would restore us the joy of our salvation. And Lord, You would fill us with Your Spirit, And Lord, that we would not give occasion for the flesh, that we crucify our flesh with its passions and its desires. So Lord God, help us to realize, Lord, that you want us to walk with the armor of light upon us so we can do warfare against the enemy. And so Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We just pray for this season that we would truly rededicate our life to you because you are our Lord and our Messiah. And we want your light to shine through us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen, Lord God. Let's just stand together. We just would invite you to stand. And as God speaks to your heart, we really would invite you to come and to really make this as a fresh rededication of your life to Him. Every one of us in this room, at some point, we need to rededicate our life to Him. That light was not shining so brightly as it once was. And the zeal of God and the passion of God is not quite there as it once was. Lord God wants to restore that in our life, but we need to be willing to take that step. So we just could invite our prayer team to come forward, and we just wanted to be here to pray for you. And just if you want to just come to the altar, just want to be here and just to meet with Adonai, meet with the Lord. Who wants to pray for you, we just want to be here to pray for you, encourage you, you know, just to minister to you, to help you to really come to that place where you